If you would turn to 1 Samuel 17, we're going to look at David walking by faith. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk or live by faith, not by sight. Starting with verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Sichah, which belongs to Judah, and they camped between Sichah and Azekah in, boy, these names, Ed. No. Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and camped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in battle array to encounter the Philistines. The Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, while Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with the valley between them. Then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was clothed with scale armor, which weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. He also had bronze greaves on his legs and a bronze javelin slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the head of his spear weighed 600 shekels of iron. His shield carrier also walked before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel and said to them, "Why do you come out to draw up in army array? Am I not the Philistine, and you servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us." Again the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together." Then Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of the Ephraimite of Bethlehem in Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons. And Jesse was old in the days of Saul, advanced in years among men. The 3 older sons of Jesse had gone after Saul to the battle. The name of his 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and the second to him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shema. David was the youngest. Now the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's flock at Bethlehem. The Philistine army came forward morning and evening for 40 days and took his stand. Then Jesse said to David his son, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of this roasted grain, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to your brothers. Bring also these 10 cuts of cheese to the commander of their 1,000, and look into their welfare of your brothers, and bring back news of them. For Saul and they, and all the men of Israel, are in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines." So David arose early in the morning, and left the flock with a keeper, and took the supplies, and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp, to the circle of the camp, while the army was going out in battle array, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines drew up in battle array, army against army. Then David left his baggage in the care of the baggage keeper and ran to the battle line and entered in order to greet his brothers. As he was talking with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine from Gath named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines, and he spoke these same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel saw the man. They fled from him and were greatly afraid. The men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who is coming up? Surely he is coming up to defy Israel. And it will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free," that's tax-free and service-free, "in Israel. Then David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God?" The people answered him in this accord with the word, saying, "Thus it will be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger burned against David. And he said, "Why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your insolence and the wickedness of your heart, for you have come down in order to see the battle." But David said, "What have I done? Was it not just a question?" Then he turned away from him to another and said the same thing. And the people answered the same thing as before. When the words which David spoke were heard, they told them to Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Then Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior since his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by the beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and may God be with you." Then Saul clothed David with his garments and put a bronze helmet on his head, and he clothed him with armor. David girded his sword over his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. So David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them." And David took them off. He took his stick in his hand and chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his pouch, and his sling was in his hand. And he approached the Philistine. Then the Philistine came on, approached David with his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy with a handsome appearance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine also said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And it happened when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag and took from it a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. And the stone sank deep into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. Thus David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in David's hand. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. The men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the valley, to the gates of Ekron, and the slain Philistines lay along the way to Shearim, even to Gath and Ekron. Our text says the Philistines gathered for war. There will always be in this world conflict between God's people and Satan's followers. With David and Goliath, we see an example of representational warfare. Goliath represented the Philistines. Did you notice as I read these verses that they didn't really believe the offer that was given? They didn't just lay down their arms when Goliath was beaten. Instead, they fled. They didn't want to be Israel's servants, so that there was nothing to this deal in the first place. And we have to remember that Satan is the father of all lies. Israel, however, accepted the terms, but no one took up the challenge. They thought if we're going to fight, we're going to have to do it according to the way they set the rules. But God doesn't work that way. Now, the men of Israel knew God. They knew about creation, that God had created everything that is. They knew that there was only one God. They knew about Moses. They knew about Egypt and the deliverance. They knew history, but they had not experienced God. Their families taught them to trust God. How do I know? Because David trusted God. We must assume that his brothers had the same lessons, that same instruction. But what made the difference? The difference was that David walked by faith and not by sight. David was ready. Here he was, a delivery boy, sent to bring some food to his brothers. Then in verse 26, he says, "What do you get for a win?" And they told him, "Great riches, you get to marry the king's daughter, and you get to live in a tax-free, service-free family." Sounds good, doesn't it? All of those things, even to us today. If you could get out of taxes, that's a big thing, isn't it? But what did David want? He wasn't concerned about those things. David wanted to take away the reproach of Israel. David's desire was to honor the living God. The problem that most people have is that we wish we were ready to take the challenge. We hope that if we were in a position like David, we wouldn't fail the Lord, but we would live by faith and not by sight. But people who walk by faith are people who have a track record. They have a history. And David had a history. The natural reaction of David's brother, they shrunk back in unbelief. Look at them getting ready and putting their armor on and rushing and shouting with swords up held high, battle cry on their lips down to the front lines, and then all of a sudden Goliath comes out and spoils the party. Shrink back because of unbelief. They looked at the struggle by sight and not by faith. They expressed their cowardice. And they ran from the conflict rather than facing it. Even Saul, the king, who stood head and shoulders above the rest of the Israelites, walked by sight and not by faith. Saul knew about God. Saul had been anointed king by Samuel. Saul had been filled with the Holy Spirit. Saul had won many victories. Saul had even prophesied with the prophets. But where was Saul? He wasn't even out there running with his sword down to the battle line. He was hiding in his tent. More than willing to support somebody else. He was willing when David came even to share his armor with David. Here, put this on. Most of the time in our minds we picture a little boy, don't we, with this huge armor. I think David was a little bit older than that. A young man, perhaps. But still, Saul was that big. And it's more of a picture of Saul than it is of David. The great champion of Israel, Saul, who shrunk back from the conflict. But David knew that he was walking by faith. And to take the armor of the king would have been walking by sight. And David had a genuine faith that had already been tested. He faced the ridicule of his brother. He faced the doubts of the king because his faith was tested in the real world. David was ready. He had faced the lion. He had faced the bear. But David had been tested. And he didn't run from the bear. He didn't run from the lion. But he trusted God in every situation that he faced. So there's small steps up to that place where God brings the big challenge. And he's waiting for us to take those small steps. And all of Israel, walking by sight, failed the test except for David. Now, there were times in David's life where he failed the test and desired to walk by sight and not by faith. God had told Israel, don't number the fighting men, because it's not in your numbers that you're going to win the battles. It's by your faith. And David commissioned a census to find out how large his army was. And they counted up all the fighting men, and God said that was against the rules, and actually gave David a choice, and he chose a plague from the hand of God to punish Israel. Thousands of people lost their lives because David walked by sight at that point and not by faith. Another time, David sent his army to battle, and the Bible says this was the time that kings were supposed to go to war. But David sent Joab to fight his fights for him, and he stayed home. And that was the terrible situation with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband Uriah. David there walked by sight. But at this point in David's life, he was ready to take a stand. David's faith had grown because of those previous battles with the lion, with the bear. Faith grows like a muscle when it's exercised. The Lord opens a door to share your faith, to share the gospel. You see someone in need of the Lord. Your view of biblical standards is challenged. You reach out to someone who needs the love and encouragement that you can give in the Lord. Each time we stand up to the challenge, our faith grows. David knew that it was God who wins the battles. I wonder what Jesus thought as he looked down from heaven on David, as he went through this whole process. How proud his heart would have been as he saw David take a stand with the soldiers, with his brothers, as he tried on the armor and as he took it off, and then as he went down to the river and took up those 5 stones and went out in Jesus' name to challenge Goliath. The Bible says twice that Jesus was amazed. In Mark chapter 6, verse 6, while visiting his hometown, Jesus was amazed by their lack of faith. But then in Matthew chapter 8, verse 10, it says, Jesus was amazed by the faith of the Roman centurion. What a difference. And I guess the challenge for us today is, how do we want to live? By faith or by sight? David chose to please God. The youngest in his family, David, pleased God. Out caring for his father's sheep, David pleased God. Taking on a lion, David pleased God. Playing his harp in the desert or in the courts of the king, David pleased God. Taking on that bear, David pleased God. Writing the Psalms, David pleased God. Taking on Goliath, David pleased God. Running from King Saul, David pleased God. Ruling the nation, David pleased God. All of these things were done by faith. David lived in the presence of God. David lived in the power of God. David's faith pleased God. And David wasn't the only one. Esther walked by faith in the midst of personal success. Esther had recently been crowned queen in a foreign land where there were some who despised the Jewish people who lived among them. Job walked by faith in the midst of great personal tragedy. Joseph walked by faith in the midst of temptation. Paul, the apostle, walked by faith in the midst of a pagan society when he took a stand for the gospel in the city of Athens. God's desire is to use his word, the circumstances in your life, and the church to give you opportunities to grow in faith. How will he do that? It's a question that we have to ask ourselves. What are the particular talents and gifts that God has given to us to bring his glory into our sphere of influence? What does he want us to do with our lives? Like David, we have to take those first steps in pleasing God so that when that great challenge comes, we're able to stand and walk by faith and not by sight. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the example of David today. And ask, dear Lord, this week that as we seek to live for you, we will recognize the opportunities that you put in front of us as faith-building experiences. That we will learn as your people to walk by faith and not by sight. Bless each one of us as we commit ourselves to do this in Jesus' name. Amen.